It's a long scripture, isn't it? But a great story. It's a great story. Have you ever had an eye-opening experience like this guy did? Not like Joe Sadler. Joe Sadler tripped over his dog's dish and fell down the steps into the basement. He tripped over the dog's dish because he was blind. And as he falls down the steps, as he's trying to gain his balance in the dark, I mean, obviously he's blind at this point, as he falls down, he cracks his head real good. And when he gets up off the floor, he can see. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. That's an eye-opening experience. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind that, for instance, when Bob Hope was asked to give an award to Charlie Boswell. Charlie Boswell was a blind golfer. And this was an outstanding blind golfer award. And so he got up to the podium to give this award to Charlie, and he takes it down, and he looks at it and says, "Outstanding blind golfer, huh?" You know, and Hope, he couldn't help but have some fun with this kind of thing. You know, you got to know that. And so he says, "You know what, Charlie, I'd like to play a round of golf with you." Charlie comes back right away and says, "Yeah, Mr. Hope, I'd love to play a round of golf with you." "But Charlie, you don't understand," Hope says. "I only play for money." Charlie came back and, "You know, Mr. Hope, I like to have a little thing going on the side myself." Well, Hope gets a little excited about this. He says, "Well, you know, what kind of handicap am I going to have to give you?" And Charlie says to him, "I'll play you straight up. Even. What you get is what you get." Well, Hope loves this. He gets excited about it. He says, "When are we going to play?" And Boswell said, "Midnight." Now that's an eye-opening experience. Suddenly you see things in a brand new way. You understand things differently. You see them differently because of what has happened to you. All of a sudden, what you could not see, what you were blind to, becomes aware and open to you. You begin to understand what's going on. In the scripture lesson this morning from John, Jesus and his disciples are walking through the temple precincts, or probably the courtyard just out front of the temple. And they see a man who had been born blind. And the disciples ask him, "Who is responsible, him or his mother? Who sinned that God would punish him by making him blind?" Now notice there, in the question, there is the assumption that it is either the father and the mother or the man himself who has done something so horrendous, so terrible, so awful, that God has punished him in the womb by making him blind. And Jesus comes back and says, it's not this man or his parents, but it's so that God's power can be seen by the whole world. You see, for God, God's way of dealing with suffering is on the level of belief in Jesus Christ. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to see. The blind who believe in Christ see Jesus. The deaf who believe in Christ hear the heavenly music. The lame who believe in Christ walk with the Lord. Now, Jesus is not just talking about physical blindness here. He's also talking about spiritual blindness. The Pharisees were physically able to see. They had 20/20 vision. They could see what was going on around them. They weren't, quote, sinners. But what they couldn't see was what was really happening around them. What they saw was that Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, and that was against the rules. What they saw was this man who was a sinner, and everybody knew him. He's the guy who sat outside the gate collecting alms his entire life. They all knew him. They kept past him every day on the way into and out of temple. This man who was, in fact, a sinner was teaching them what the Bible had to say, what the law was all about. This man, what they saw was a challenge to their authority. What they didn't see was this man who had been born blind could see. He got his vision back. Now think about it a minute. If somebody came in here and who was blind, somebody that you knew your entire life to be blind, and he was healed in an instant, what is your reaction? That he got healed on Sunday? Or that he got healed? Shouldn't they have been yelling and shouting and jumping up and down for joy? Praise the Lord! Shouldn't they have been giving credit to God for what He had done? Instead, what are they worried about? They're worried about dotting their T's and crossing their I's. They're worried about inconsequential nothing, simply because they don't want a challenge to their authority. We need to open our eyes and see what's really going on around us. We need to open our eyes and see that the poor and the sick and the lame are not sinners because they're poor and sick and lame. No, I said, we don't do that, do we? We don't look at somebody who is poor and blame them for it, do we? We don't look at somebody who is poor or sick or lame and assume that it's their own fault. I mean, if they went out and got a job, everything would be all right, right? If they stopped drinking so much, if they stopped doing drugs, everything would be fine, wouldn't it? The problem with it, of course, is that when we blame them for their own situation in life, when we say it's their fault, what happens to us is that we are let off the hook. We don't have to deal with them. I mean, if they would change their ways, everything would be fine, wouldn't it? They'd take care of it themselves. We don't have to deal with it at all. We need to open our eyes and begin to see that we need to get out of our comfortable lives. Begin to live the way the other half does. Have you ever had to go to an emergency room because you were sick, really, really sick? Maybe throwing up, maybe just the temperature going through the roof. And you get there, and you're there because it's the only doctor you have, is the emergency room. And you get there, and they take your name and your information, the fact that you don't have any information about a doctor. And they tell you to go and sit and wait, and they'll get to you as soon as possible. How long as soon as possible? 3 hours. 3? Good luck! How about 6 or 8? Been there, done that. You're lucky. 3 hours. You're lucky. Oh, you were bleeding. That makes a difference. If you're bleeding, that makes a difference. But if you're just sick, what's that? You got 6 hours. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. When the other, you know, what it's like. Now, how many of you go to the doctor and within 20 minutes you're seeing the doctor? Well, 30. Not an hour, usually. I hope not. Maybe you need a new doctor if you do. But mostly, we see him right away. We need to realize that there is another foot here, another shoe that has to drop. A couple of years ago, I was in Polk County. That's been, oh, a long time ago now, actually, almost 25 years. I had a member of the church that was in jail in the Polk County lockup. I went to see him each month. And as I went in there, I had to prove my bona fides every single time. I had to show him my ordination certificate. I had to take my ordination certificate with me in order to be able to get in. I had to show them my ID, my driver's license, even though I saw them the month before. Do you know what it's like in prison? To have that jail cell slammed shut behind you? To have those concrete walls with no windows? To have a piece of plexiglass several inches thick between you and the person you're trying to talk to? I had the phone, and you're talking to them, and the phone doesn't work well enough. You have to shout. I mean, literally shout as loud as you can. He probably could hear me through the plexiglass before he heard me through the phone. And that's how we talked. We need to realize that there is another side of this thing. And if we do that, we might discover their pain. But we also discover maybe the satisfaction and even the joy of simple living. Because after all, the warmest food is in the kitchen, right? That's where it's hot and piping hot and ready to go. That's the best stuff. We need to open our eyes and walk a mile in their shoes. Have you ever seen one of those outfits that they give to men that hangs on the shoulders and it's got about 40 pounds of weight about right here, ladies? That's like being pregnant. And you get to wear that for a couple days and have that thing drag your shoulders down, and you begin to get a little bit of a feeling of what it's like to carry a term baby. And guys suddenly have a whole different perspective, a whole different vision of what it means to be a mother and what the sacrifice is all about. We need to open our eyes and walk a little bit in another person's shoes. Only when we experience life like they do can we see the obstacles and the things that get in our way and begin to feel what they are feeling and see what they are seeing. We need to open our eyes and realize that we are in fact sinners. And I don't mean because we're blind or because we're deaf or because we've got some kind of disease. We need to realize that what we say that we believe and what we actually do are two different things. That we allow the world to set the agenda for our lives. We allow the world to tell us what is right and what is wrong. We have to take responsibility for that reality, for our brokenness, and begin to look beyond ourselves and into the future to what God really wants for each of us. We need to own what we have done wrong. When somebody realizes that they can't take care of their alcohol problem anymore, when they finally acknowledge that reality, a lot of them go to AA. And that's the first step. That's a big step. It's a big step because we're relinquishing control on our lives. We're saying that I can't handle this on my own. But it's only the first step. One of the things that they need to do is be able to stand up and own what they have done and who they are. And you do that in AA by standing up before the crowd and saying, my name is, and I'm an alcoholic. We need to acknowledge that we are sinners, fallen short of the glory of God. Acknowledge our brokenness and seek the path that leads to new life and health in Jesus Christ. And to be able to see the glory and the praise and the grace that is God. We need to open our eyes and see the sign that the beggar is holding saying, it's April and I'm blind. We need to acknowledge that we take the world for granted, that we don't really see, that we don't stop and smell the roses. We need to acknowledge that the beauty and the wonder and the glory of a spring day. We need to see the beauty of color, of faces, of flowers, to acknowledge what God has put there before us. We need to feel the pain of the blind who have to live sightless in a sighted world. We need to decide what we're going to do, to reevaluate our lives, to look at what is ultimately really important, and then begin to plot and plan how we're going to take advantage of whatever time we have left. You see, when we finally have an eye-opening experience, when we finally accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and put Him in our lives, we'll be able to see Jesus as the light of the world and see what He is calling us to be. And all excuses about how we can see, we really don't need all that stuff. And I prove it by being in church every once in a while, by how much I give to the church, or how much I share of myself, and how many times I come and volunteer. Or whether we use the how I was baptized, or when I was baptized, or how I'm going to go about doing things, or how I turn the world off and I come to church on Sunday morning. All of these are only excuses that prove how blind we are to what God really wants from each and every one of us. Only as we discover our blind spots can our eyes be open and the light of the world finally come in. Amen.